Peace and blessings. Welcome to another episode of Boss Hijabipreneur. Women often appear to suffer from the misconception that to be successful in business or accepted in society, they have to diminish or denounce their faith or beliefs. As a business coach, I have encountered women cross-culturally who face internal conflict regarding their religious identity, maintaining their family roles, and being their most authentic selves. I developed this podcast to help guide them back to reclaiming their faith, better define their roles as women, so they can own their identity, live their absolute best life, and be a powerhouse in business. Let's tune in to today's episode, Already in Progress.
Before we come onto Mother Earth, this is the very first sound that we ever hear. And this is what keeps us all connected. So whenever you hear the drum, this is why you feel so at peace, comforted, and at home. It doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what color your skin is, it doesn't matter your background, we all have a heartbeat. Okay, so the song that I'm going to teach you is called the Women's Warrior Song. This song came to the women in BC of the Salish Satmia Nation, which is an interior nation in BC. And during the Oka Crisis in 1990, the song came to those women there. So the Oka Crisis, if some of you know, is when the Mohawks were defending their territory against the Canadian government. That just shows how connected we are as First Nations. And now to this day, they sing the song every year, honoring the missing and murdered Indigenous women and men. So this song is very empowering, and you don't have to be just, you know, males can sing it as well, and you don't have to be First Nations to be able to sing this. I highly encourage you to participate. If you ever see a march happening where they're drumming and singing, join them, and it will do something for your spirit that will just bring this huge healing.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. And for 2020, we are focused on faith, family, and finances. So you guys are going to hear us say that a lot this year. It is truly one of my goals to help to improve in those three areas. So to help all the women of faith that follow us, and also just for myself as well, is to improve in the area of faith. We can always have more faith, and we can always have better relationships with family and friends, and we can always use a little bit more money to be able to do more of the things that we want to do. And so that is our focus for the entire year. So for 2020, we'll be focused on those three areas. So I am actually recording this podcast from Canada. And this weekend, I had the pleasure of traveling to Canada. And I'm going to tell you that this was a trip for the ages, as there was a lot of reflection about the signs of Allah, the signs of God throughout this trip. It was one of the most profound trips I've been on. One of the reflections that I had was just on the word travel itself. And I actually looked it up in Arabic. And, the word in Arabic is safar, which means showing, uncovering, or revealing. And it is believed that the word safar is used for traveling because it reveals the true nature of the person traveling or the person that you're traveling with. I found that to be, again, so profound. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. I actually did a post on my Instagram page. So if you don't follow us already, go ahead over to our Instagram page, which is at BUNHD. So all the words spelled out, BEYOUINHD. So would love to see you and have you follow us there. And again, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but this is my first trip of the year. So first trip of the year, to Calgary, Canada. I was a speaker for Amber Von Gratz, empowerment retreat that she had, on Saturday. And so I flew in on Friday and just had just an amazing, amazing, amazing Friday. And I'm actually going to tell you a little bit just about my day a little bit later. But it's just been an amazing journey from Friday all the way up until right now, you know, me recording this podcast. So I'm excited to have her actually come on. So Amber is a beautiful, beautiful soul. She is a new convert to Islam. So she's been Muslim for about a year and a half right here in Canada. I believe she's from Edmonton, and she now resides in Calgary. So some amazing things that are going to come from that sister. So inshallah, we're going to have her come on and talk about her upcoming book, Soul Detox. And I think there's like a subtitle. I don't remember the subtitle, but she will come on inshallah, and she'll talk a little bit more about her book. And I think I'm going to do that episode as a part of a pre-Ramadan series. So one of the things, of course, you know, focusing on faith, Ramadan comes a little bit early this year, and I wanted to do a jump start. And so we're actually January 23rd for 4 weeks, we are doing a pre-Ramadan challenge. And so for that 4 weeks, where each week we're going to focus on something different, and we're going to use my book, the Not Without My Hijab book, for that particular class. So it's only $5 to join it if you already, if you just want to participate in the class. And then if you want to order a copy of the book and be a part of our VIP, which we will not only do the 4 week class, you'll get a copy of the book mailed out to you, and you'll also be able to touch base with us 4 times this year. So each quarter we will do just a touch point where we just check in with you and just see how your faith journey is going throughout the year, and just making sure. So we create a faith plan in week 4. And, you know, we just want to do some touch points just to see how you're doing with your faith plan, if you're able to keep up with your faith plan. So just a lot of things that we're going to be doing in 2020, just making sure that we're connecting with the community, and we're just doing a little bit more in the community. So look for that. And the cool thing is that it is a webinar. So if you are in Canada and you're one of the women, the lovely women that I met here in Canada, you can participate. It is, everything is virtual. You receive a link a week before the call starts, and you'll be able to click on the link and you'll be able to, from your phone or from your desktop or from any type of mobile device that has a front-facing camera, you'll be able to participate in the class. There will be a slideshow presentation, and we will also have a presenter in week four. So we are excited for that. You can head over to our website, www.bunhd.com, to be able to become a part of the pre-Ramadan challenge. So I look forward to seeing you guys for that. But just getting back to the retreat, just during the retreat, I spoke on how each of us can use the new year as an excuse to reflect on the season we were in. And just to give you, just to tee it up a little bit for you guys, the women that were in the room were from different faiths. We had a woman that was from First Nation. She was there with her mother and I believe her children. She was there with a couple of them, and she just taught us, she's Blackfoot Indian here in Canada, and she taught us about her culture. Right at the top of the episode, I'm actually going to share with you a woman's inspiration song that they sing in her tribe. And so I'm actually sharing that with you in the beginning. So that will be the opening of this episode. So if you fast forwarded to this section, make sure that you go back and you just listen in. It was very spiritual, and I'm glad that she, you know, found the courage to be able to share some of her traditions, you know, with all the rest of us in the room. There were Christians in the room. There were people from all walks of life, from different countries, all coming together right here in Calgary for Amber's retreat. It was such an amazing experience. And I recommend anyone in your circles that you do some type of event, do it at least once. You will be surprised how much we can learn from one another. So that was just one of the things. But what I talked about is reflecting on the previous season and then what you can learn from it. So I want you to, I'm going to jump right in and go ahead and give you guys some homework. So if you haven't yet found the time for this introspection, so just talking about the last season, so the last season could be the entire 2019 or the final season where you found yourself at the end of the year. You may not have started that way. You may have started in one place in 2019 and then ended somewhere else. So in that final season, you know, I want you to ask yourself, are you transitioning now into a new season? Did you move from one season? Did you move from, you know, a season where you knew everything, and then now you're in this season where everything is brand new and you don't know anything? A lot of people start new jobs at the beginning of the new year. Some of you may have gotten a promotion, whether it's financial or whether it's an actual physical, you know, moving or something like that. But are you transitioning into a new season? I want you to answer that question. Do you feel like you're transitioning into a new season? The second question that I want you to answer and put in your journal is, have you been through some recent shifting events? Did you move? Some of these, you know, just giving you some examples of life-shifting events. It could be some type of loss or gain. So, even a gain sometimes can be to our detriment. You know, if we're moving into a new job, now we don't know anything. And, you know, we feel like, oh man, I don't know anything. I don't know how I'm going to, you know, kind of rise to the occasion doing this job. Or you know, maybe you're a new mom. You know, I don't know how I'm going to be the best mom. Whatever the case may be, it could be a divorce. It could be the loss of or the increase in income. It could be where you lost a friendship or a relationship. It also could be where you're starting to shift. And this is something that happened to me 5 years ago. So, new ideas are coming into the mix. You may have new circumstances or situations, and some of them, or you may have outgrown a situation. So these are all, different scenarios of life shifting events. So you could have one or more of these. So I know for me, it seems like, you know, mine come in like, you know, droves. Like, it's not just one area. And so a lot of times it's like multiple areas. So, you know, it's just trying to figure that out. But God usually gives us signs through major life events. And in most cases, we ignore them. Okay. And when he is ready for us to move into our next assignment or into our next season, he gives us some of these major life events or shifts. And then the third is, what have you learned from this shift or shifts, if you're like me, and how will you use what you learned in your new season? So just making sure that you are constantly journaling and you are constantly, you know, just paying attention to the cues and the clues that you may be receiving. You know, if you believe in God, you know, maybe you're receiving them from God. If you believe in the universe, whatever you believe, you know, are you paying attention to these cues and clues, right? And during this event, you know, I shared my shift that happened 5 years ago. And so I'm going to share it with you guys a little bit. I don't think I've shared it on the podcast at all. But when I was called back to a faithful life and essentially called to doing the work that I'm doing right now as a coach, as, you know, an empower, as an inspirer, right? I feel like those are the things that I've been called to do, right? And 5 years ago, I went on a vacation with one of my girlfriends. She's one of my, you know, one of my closest friends. We went to Mexico. We went to Ixtapa, Mexico, to be exact. And when I tell you that this was the most beautiful place, the moment that we got off the plane, right? We got off the plane. It was really sunny. And in Mexico, it was where we landed. It was the type of airport that you get off the plane, like, you know, on like the landing strip. And then you have to walk inside and then you get your luggage and then you get your taxi and then you go on your way. Right. And so as we're in the taxi, we had about a half hour drive in order for us to get to our villa. And so as we're on the drive, you know, the sky starts to get a little bit more cloudy and cloudy and cloudy. And the driver was even saying that, you know, this is not seasonal, like, you know, it normally doesn't rain this time of year. And so we finally get to the villa, and the villa are these big brown doors. Like, these doors had to be at least 20 feet high. And our guide, or I guess he was the groundskeeper, I'm not quite sure, right? He opens these doors, and like, there was one tree and bush and, you know, just this garden of just like all of these flowers. If you could imagine paradise on earth, when those two doors opened, that is exactly what it looked like. I was like, listen, we've arrived, right? And we continue to walk, and in front of us, there are villas to the right, and then there are villas on the left side. And our villa happens to be the first villa all the way to the right. So right directly in front of the water, right there on the beach, like literally, you know, we're about 15 feet, maybe. It might be too much from the water. Like literally, you walk outside the villa and the sand is there, and then, you know, a few more steps and then the water is there. And this scene in front of us is just like this really dark cloud. And it's like the closer that we walked to, you know, like the foot of the ocean or the mouth of the ocean, the darker the sky got. And it was almost like this charcoal gray. And if you can imagine like all of the water thrashing and then these clouds and then, you know, just like, wow, right? And so, you know, I'm looking and I'm fixated on this, and I'm like looking over at my girlfriend, you know, like, hey, did we come on the wrong day? And, you know, we just kind of, you know, exchanged looks. And then she was like, you know what, I'm going, you know, to discover more of this place. But I was fixated on the water and I was fixated on the ocean. And, you know, I just stood there in a trance. I'm not exactly sure how long I stood there, but what woke me from my trance was the water had finally come and splashed at my feet, right? And that's how much the water, you know, was thrashing about, and, you know, how threatening the water just looked. It was almost like a tsunami. Like, you felt like the water was just going to come over and just like wash you away. And I woke from the trance, and as I was, you know, kind of opening my eyes, there was this voice that came, and the voice said, Halima, it's time. And I knew exactly what the voice meant. And, you know, after 20 years of, you know, not practicing as a Muslim, just not practicing any type of faith, to be honest, you know, I knew exactly what the voice was saying. And, you know, after 20 years, it was the first, that night was the first time that I prayed a sincere prayer. And, you know, just asking for, you know, forgiveness and just asking for guidance.
And, you know, when I came back from that trip, so we were there, I believe, 6 days or six more days. And, you know, what I find so profound is that the place next door was a yoga retreat, and it was called Present Moment. But that's not where we stayed. We were actually just staying in the villa, you know, next door. But I ended up going to that place every single day and just, you know, being present and just, you know, finding this place of, you know, just grounding myself and just finding this place of just peace. You know, every morning I would go and I would walk over and, you know, I would do the meditation exercises and I would do, you know, just the yoga poses. And I felt like, you know, I was, you know, just kind of coming back to, you know, what Islam is all about. I remember sitting in one of the poses one day, like downward dog. And I was like, this is like praying Salat. And, you know, that to me was like an indication, like, girl, you need to come on back and you need to get yourself together. So that was one of my major life shifts for me. And again, that happened 5 years ago. I'm so grateful for that trip. I'm so grateful for that moment. And, you know, for me being in this room over the weekend and being able to share that story, so many people needed me to share that story. And so, you know, just, you know, I just wanted to share that story. Because we need to share our stories with other people, because it gives them permission to share their own. It also gives them permission to possibly hear themselves for the first time out loud. You know, some people in that room, you know, never got the opportunity to voice. You know, some of the women in the room were mothers of daughters who recently converted to Islam. And, you know, I was the voice of not without my hijab. I was the voice of, you know, of that particular perspective, and me sharing that story and just sharing how, you know, for me, you know, faith wasn't always at the top of the list, but it was always something that I yearned for. And whether I knew it or not, you know, it was always something that I was yearning for. And so then when I finally found it, And I finally, you know, found that peace. I found that peace in Salat. I found that peace in Dhikr. I found that peace in reading the Quran. You know, I knew, you know, that, you know, it's almost like I'm given a second chance at having this connection, you know, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, God, if you will, right? And, you know, for, you know, these young ladies who have recently converted to Islam, you know, they need that support of their mother. They want that support of their mother. But at the same time, you know, their life is their journey. So it was an amazing experience to be in the room and to be able to share my story and to be able to share how, you know, covering back in hijab and coming back to Islam, like, although, you know, it was all I knew, and, you know, I grew up in Islam, you know, I was born Muslim, you know, it was still, you know, a scary thing to be able to come back. So I just really wanted to share with you guys that story from, you know, just my story from 5 years ago. And then also the story from these young ladies and their mothers that were in, you know, the room. And, you know, one of the other things that I shared is I shared, you know, how each one of us will continue to have our own faith journey. Each one of us will continue to transition into new seasons. And, you know, I talked about my book, which is Not Without My Hijab, 11 Steps to Reclaiming Your Faith. So I talked about that a little bit earlier in this episode. And, you know, I just talked about, you know, how I was able to use these 11 steps. And these 11 steps didn't just come to me. You know, this is just the way that, you know, it was just this way that things, you know, happened for me. And, you know, I know that this is the way that my story was written. And I wanted to be able to, you know, put it in book form and to be able to possibly help someone else. So I'm going to do a shameless plug really quickly. I invite you to grab your copy via my website. So you can grab a copy of the book. The book is just $22.99. You can grab it on our website, which is www.bunhd.com/shop. So that's www.bunhd.com/shop. And you can grab your copy there. Or if you're outside the US, you can grab your copy on www.amazon.com, and we're available in every single country. So you can grab your copy there. In the book, I created these 11 steps again to help guide women back to living a faith-filled life. And I really wanted women to understand that knowledge is power, but the application of knowledge is powerful. So, with the help of one of my friends, I used the word application as an acronym for the 11 steps to improve our relationship with our higher power. And I'm just going to read out the 11 steps just so you have an understanding of just the flow of how things kind of went for me. And so step one was awaken. And step one, I'll be honest with you, was actually a process of about 7 years for me. And so for me, prior to 5 years ago, 7 years before that, I started coming back. And, there was one time I attended a funeral, and at the funeral, I wore hijab and I prayed, the janazah prayer. That was the first time I had been in a mosque in a while. And in probably about 13 years was the first time I had been had stepped foot in a mosque. And so that awakening period was about 7 years for me. And it was just different things, different things people said, different people that I met along the way. And then step two was the pray your way out. And the pray your way out was that day, where I was on the beach and my feet were splashed with the water. That night was the first time that I prayed. And it was through a series of, just coming back to prayer. At first, it was just acknowledging God's presence. And then it was, dhikr. And then it was, the physical prayer. And then it was Quran. And then kind of move that. And that period took about 3 or 5 months for me to kind of completely come back and praying 5 times a day, reading the Quran, dhikr, etc. One of the things that I shared, and I share sometimes during the workshops, is that when I opened up the Quran, despite having, learned the Quran as a child, up until the age of, 16 and just knowing the Quran and being able to read from it in Arabic, coming back to faith, I was not able to read from the Quran, not even the Surah Fatiha, not even the easiest surah, the first surah of the Quran was I able to read. And I will tell you, it was something that was extremely frustrating. But one of the things that I'm reminded of is when Allah says that, I will cause people, when you forget me, I will cause people to forget themselves. And that was, it was almost deafening, just to realize that that is exactly what happened to me. So, that praying your way out, that was just the journey. And it took about 3 to 5 months for me to get there. And then purifying your soul. Purifying your soul because your soul is yearning, right? Your soul, your ruh, right? And your natural state, which is your fitra, you have to honor that because God created you to worship Him. And so purifying your soul is that, making, tawbah and repenting and asking for forgiveness, right? And just, working not to go back to, the lifestyle that I was living. That was one of the things. And then loving what comes. I think the loving what comes part is hard. It was one of the hardest things for me, especially with the Quran. I'm going to tell you, I'm saying it as a matter of fact thing, but it wasn't. It was really hard for me, picking up the Quran and not being able to read from it. That was so, so difficult for me. So just loving what comes was really about patience and having patience with myself and having patience with the process. And then investing in you. So the investing in me part was going to the masjid. The investing in me part was sitting down with the Quran. The investing in me part was listening to the Quran. So I used the Quran app and I just put my headphones in and I just started listening to the Quran. One of the things that I will tell you is that the day that kind of the light bulb went off and I was able to read from the Quran is when I read an article and it was one of the first steps to being able to read the Quran is to set, sincere intentions to read it. And I will tell you that the day that I made sincere intentions to read it was the day that I could actually start reading from it. And, just continuing to expand on that. So just investing in you. I went to different conferences. I just did a lot of different things to, just try to, just come back and just, you know, feel like, you know, I was at a place where I felt like, you know, my connection to the Creator was good, you know, and was exactly what I needed. And as time goes on, you know, what I need is different. You know, what I needed 5 years ago is not necessarily what I need right now. It varies and it changes. But just being conscious of that, if I were to give someone any type of advice, I would say to always be conscious of what you need. That's something that I learned from yoga, actually. You know, one of the things with yoga is it's not just about the poses. It's about doing poses that actually make you feel good in the moment, that feel good to your muscles, that feel good to your, you know, just your body, your heart, your well-being. It's the same thing, you know, with faith is, doing the right thing. Right now, Surah Duha, is my go-to surah. It is a surah that, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he wasn't receiving revelation. So, you know, if you don't know the story, you know, the angel Jibril alayhi salam, he was giving revelation of the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went for a time where he didn't receive any revelation, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that, you know, Allah, you know, God was angry at him, and that, you know, he no longer wanted him to be like, you know, his servant or whatever. And you know, the Surah Duha was revealed to show that you know, I'm not upset with you, you know, like, how could I be upset with you? It's just a beautiful love story. You know, I feel like it's a beautiful love story between creator and slave, right? Or from master to slave. And so I feel like it's just a great surah. So I recommend anyone that, you know, if you have, you know, are sad or depressed, or you've gone through, like, you know, a recent life transition, to open up the Quran and to read that surah. And if you have the opportunity to get the tafsir on that surah, I would invite you to do that as well. And change your heart. You know, the whole changing your heart, you know, it says Allah, you know, is the changer of hearts. And so, you know, just continuing to ask Allah to be a changer of hearts, right? And, you know, just to turn your heart over and, you know, just kind of like, you know, just, you know, being in a place of, you know, purity and just, you know, increasing your connection with the Creator. Step 7 is activate your faith. And so to activate your faith, you know, it's saying it. It's physically seeing it. And I will tell you that the activating your faith part, you physically saw it transition. So, you know, I went from, you know, wearing, like, you know, my regular clothes to, you know, kind of getting longer shirts and looser pants and, you know, that kind of thing. I was wearing, like, this side turban, and not that there's anything wrong with side turbans, but for me, you know, my expression of Islam or my expression of hijab and my faith has evolved into what I feel is, you know, how I want to express my faith, how I want to express my hijab. So you kind of saw that transition with my clothes. So that's the activating your faith part. Step 8 is to trust God and trust yourself. So having that, you know, tawakkul, and, you know, just knowing that, you know, God is going to do what's best for you in every single, you know, moment, and every single, you know, in every single, you know, circumstance, he's going to do what is best for you. And I think, you know, me personally, I struggle with it sometimes, and I'm sure other people do. And so this is a step that I go back and forth to a lot. And, you know, and just remembering that, you know, whether I feel in the moment, I'm like, oh man, that didn't go the way that I wanted it to, it is going the way that it's supposed to go. And so, you know, just knowing, knowing that, I think, you know, the last year I traveled over 30 times last year, and last year taught me a lot of, you know, just that trusting God. You know, a flight may be delayed, a flight may be canceled, or I may have a 7-hour layover, which just happened to me this past Friday, alhamdulillah, right? And so, you know, just trusting that, you know, there's a reason behind this. There's a reason for this. And so I'm going to talk a little bit later about what that 7-hour layover did for me. So it was such a beautiful experience, mashallah. Step 9 is to inspire others. And so tell other people, you know, even with this, you know, episode, inshallah, you know, I'm inspiring someone that may be struggling, or, you know, maybe going through, you know, something, you know, that is not in their favor. You know, inshallah, you know, my story story or something that I've said today will be able to inspire them to, you know, have a deeper connection or to possibly open up the Quran and see, you know, how it can speak to them or how it can help them in their, you know, struggle in their life, whatever the case may be. And then step 10 is to operate in optimism and always operating in that place of hope. You know, one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, says and does is he wants us to always operate from this place of optimism and hope that things are going to get better, things are going to be better, or this is in my best interest, et cetera, et cetera. And then step 11 is one of my favorite steps, which is to never stop seeking God. And, you know, the way that these steps are created is for you to cycle in and cycle out of them, meaning that, you know, at each stage, you will need to awaken. You will need to have, you know, you'll need to evolve and you will need to have this new awakening to this next level of faith, to this next level of your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, you know, I want to share with you guys really quickly, you know, what I learned this weekend. But before I do, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you so much. And so just want to continue on and just share with you guys what I learned this weekend. So one of the greatest takeaways from this weekend was that there is strength in sisterhood, but only if you're willing to be vulnerable and open to give as well as receive. And, you know, for a lot of us, you know, it's a lot easier to give than it is to receive. There's a level of humbling that is actually even more than when you're the giver. I think, you know, when you're the giver, there's a lot more control when you're the giver. But when you're in the place of receiving, like, you know, there's a level of humility and piety that you have to receive from someone else. And so, you know, that's something definitely that I'm working on in my own, you know, just personal development and even in business. You know, I think that it's important to not only be a giver, but also to be you know, able to receive. And, you know, I wrote this in my post. I was like, Canada, you owe me nothing. And truly, you know, I've been blessed by this trip. I've been blessed by the women that I was able to meet. And I'm just going to share a little bit of my journey that started on, you know, Friday. And I was in Denver International Airport. So I had a connecting flight coming from New York, and my connecting flight was in Denver. And so when I landed in the airport, I had about a 2.5 hour layover. And so I was like, okay, that's enough time for me to go. I can pray my two prayers, my Dhuhr and my Asr, and then I can come back, get in line, and then, you know, I'll just wait for my flight. And so it ended up being that, you know, I ended up having to do a 7 hour layover. So I, you know, went out of the airport. I went to the chapel. So in this particular airport, there was a chapel / you know, so place for Christians and for Jewish people to pray in the chapel. And then on the left hand side, there was a mosque. And so it was like this really, you know, it was like a little small room that they turned into a masjid. It was complete with pillars and, you know, just places to pray. You could probably fit about 15 people easily, you know, praying in the room. So it was small, but it was still a nice size to where you could fit multiple people. They had a place for you to hang your coat. They had a place for you to put your bag. Like, it was just really cute. And I was able, so, you know, it was Friday, so Yom al-Juma, and, you know, I normally enjoy going to my neighborhood mosque on Juma, you know, but you're traveling. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to miss it. And I felt like I had my own, like, little private Juma. I met so many people at the airport. So a lot of the workers came in and they prayed, you know, their prayers and everything like that. So I was able to connect with them. But I was able to pray Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, you know, with that 7 hour layover. So I'm so grateful for that. And I feel like it was one of the most spiritually enlightening experience I've had to date. Just in that small space, you know, I was able to, in one sitting, read Surah Kaf, which, you know, sometimes you're not able to do. Sometimes, you know, you have to, you know, rush back to work or rush to the masjid or whatever, you know, you have to do. You know, sometimes, you know, where I go pray, you know, sometimes, you know, just Dhuhr and Asr, and then after that, you know, you get kicked out, right? And so, you know, for me, it was just a really, you know, amazing experience. I felt like this deep connection, in my faith that day. So it was a really great way to start the trip. And just, you know, it was just so special that it was Friday. And then, you know, when I met the women on Saturday, so the town is welcoming too. So even when I got in the airport, everyone was nice, getting to my hotel, everything was nice. And then the following day, just attending the event. So again, I spoke at a Woman of Faith conference in Calgary. And I feel like I came as a speaker to be the teacher. And I left having an even greater appreciation and understanding of sisterhood. And I felt like I was a student. And I think that a lot of times we work on pouring into others and we forget that we have to be poured into too. And through this experience, not only was I able to pour from my cup, but I was also able to receive as well. And that was one of my intentions. Two of my intentions were to, have a sisterhood experience, and the second was to learn. And I really achieved both of those, on this trip. So I'm so grateful for that. And so, I also visited Banff Mountain here, and just an amazing experience. So if you guys don't know, listen, a girl is afraid of heights, okay? Although, I grew up, in a high rise apartment in New York, 18th floor, everything is on the, 20th floor and up in New York City, right? Just looking down for me is like, I don't know, right? And so nonetheless, being on something that's moving and heights, listen. So last year, I was challenged with getting on a Ferris wheel for the first time in probably like 20 years. And I was able to conquer that fear, and I'm so grateful for that experience. But, again, in the beginning, like it was challenging, right? And so the same thing going up the mountain. So the ride was like 8 to 10 minutes long going up the mountain. And when I tell you, you're going up the mountain, like you're on this gondola and like you're really going up this mountain, okay? And you're just moving past the trees, you're moving past water, bodies of water, like you're moving past some stuff. And so, it was just amazing experience. The going up part was harder than the coming down. The coming down was a lot easier for me. But I feel like, the gondola experience, I was reminded of how insignificant in the world we are. But just how significant in God's eyes each of us are. So like I felt like each of us being in that space, like it was just a spiritual experience. And I think one that you had to kind of be present for you to have an appreciation for it. But the prize of, kind of going up that mountain on that gondola, listen, was the view. The view was just completely breathtaking. So the ride up on the gondola, listen, I just prayed the whole time. I'm like, alhamdulillah for this experience, alhamdulillah for given the opportunity to be on this gondola, alhamdulillah for this view, Allah, everything you do is beautiful, right? And then the view from the mountain reminded me to be present. And then the descent down reminded me that everything is not as scary as it seems. So again, just Allah through what he does, just teaching us these lessons and, just reminding me to replace worry with wonderment and being excited for what is around the corner and what is around the bend. So just reminding me that this will be another year of no fear, just faith. And so there's a video that I have on IG that's in my stories. You can go ahead and watch it and you can see me, just with my experience on the gondola and just like, yeah, it's pretty funny. But, what I learned is I'm empowered to travel more so I can glorify God and also his, just revel in his beauty and his magnificence. One of my favorite 99 names of Allah is Ziyad al-Jalali wal-Ikram. And, I feel like that just kept coming to me. It's Oh Lord of majesty and honor. Like, you know, I just think of like the word majesty as like this magnificent thing. And, you know, it's just one of my favorite words, mashallah, my favorite, one of my favorite 99 names of Allah. I use that one very often. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Like, you know, it's one of my favorite names to dhikr too, inshallah. So I feel like through this trip, I feel like what comes to mind is that the mind once expanded, it can never retract. And so what I want to ask you to do, just another homework assignment, just a mini homework assignment, I want to ask you to ask yourself, how will you stretch yourself this week? How will you, you know, kind of do that no fear, just faith type thing? You know, is there a project that you want to work on? Is there a place that you want to travel to? You know, what are some steps that you can do this week to stretch yourself, you know, just to stretch yourself in this year too? You know, I feel like, you know, this year is an opportunity. Every year, every day, every hour is an opportunity for us to, you know, stretch ourselves a little bit more and to ask ourselves, what more could we be doing in the world? You know, I feel like as Muslims, you know, a part of our faith teaches us that, you know, we should help our neighbor and whatever that means. You know, maybe you create the cure for cancer, you know, or you find the cure for cancer. Maybe you create a product that makes it easier for someone to do something. But, you know, just asking yourself that question consistently, how will you stretch yourself this week? How will you stretch yourself to do a little bit more every single week? So, I hope that you guys enjoy my inspirational quote of the week, which will be coming up next. And I hope you join us again next week. My inspirational quote of the week: I will not let anyone walk through my mind with their dirty feet. Mahatma Gandhi. This quote actually came by way of one of the speakers that was present during the conference. And what I love about this quote is that if I allowed, you know, people, when I was coming back to faith, if I allowed, you know, what some of the people said about, you know, my decision to come back to faith, if I allowed that to get to me, I wouldn't have, you know, reclaimed faith one, and I wouldn't have had the experiences that I had over the last 5 years up until right now. And so I'm so appreciative of, you know, this quote, and I'm so appreciative of the idea that I don't have to, or none of us have to listen to, you know, just the negative talk of other people, and even the negative talk of ourselves. So I pray that you enjoyed this quote, and I pray that it's something that you can apply to your life. If you found this episode to be helpful, please subscribe, share with your colleagues and friends, and be sure to leave us a testimonial that we can share with our listeners. If you have a business or product and would like to sponsor an episode, please email the word sponsor to info@bunhd.com for more details. Peace, and I'll talk to you next week. This has been another spectacular episode of Boss Hijabipreneur, brought to you by BUNHD LLC and the Not Without My Hijab stage play. To find out more about services for women of faith in business and the next city up on the tour, visit www.bunhd.com. It is our hope here at BUNHD that after each episode, you will be empowered to have a deeper connection in your spirituality, personal, and business relationships. As women of faith, we have a responsibility to learn our religion, apply it to our daily lives, and to make a positive contribution in our local and global community.